I'm going to diverge, move away from my notes, because I have it all typed out here. But a thought came to me today as I was preparing for the service. And so I'm going to go for a couple of minutes this way. Most of you know, most of you have heard the word sin, right? You've heard it. Paul has lists of things that are sins. We have the Ten Commandments, and we know that breaking one of those is a sin. But as we talked about earlier, the word itself has taken on a different meaning in our Christianity in the 21st century and the way we understand it. For many of us, the minute I say that word, you already have a picture in your brain of something that is sin. But it's bigger than any one thing. It is not just thou shalt not kill. So if you kill, you break it. Thou shalt not steal. If you steal, you break it. If I don't steal, I'm golden. John Calvin wrote about the Ten Commandments that, yes, they are negative. You know, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't do these things. They are negative. But he said they're also... the reciprocal of that is also true. They're also positives. Not only should you not kill, but you should work to help your sister and brother live a better life. You don't just take their life away from them. Taking their life away from them is definitely wrong. But we're also wrong if we don't help them out. The same thing with stealing. Just because we don't take something from someone doesn't mean that we've fulfilled the commandment. We're called upon by God to give. As Jesus said in this sermon that we just read from, someone asks from you your coat, don't just give them your coat. Give them your shirt too. So we sin not just when we steal or when we kill, but when we fail to give life, we fail to give to others, we also sin. We miss the mark. Trying to understand, you know, any word we have, it's just a symbol for that thing, right? Microphone, the word, isn't really a microphone. It's just what we call that thing over there. It's a microphone. Sin is just a word. And anytime we're trying to describe anything, we have to do it with words, symbols, things to give it meaning. Many times when we use a word over and over and over again, it loses its power. It loses its sense of meaning, right? Sin in church worlds can be one of those words that's lost its meaning and its power. And needs to be, from time to time, reinvigorated with new images, new metaphors that help it give strength. You guys all remember 7th grade English class, what a metaphor is? Two things that are not alike, that are compared to one another, right? To bring meaning to it. In the scripture we just read, Jesus talks about exclusion. People get excluded from the group because they don't think the same way or they don't act the same way. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians that God, through Christ, is wanting to break through all barriers that exclude. God wants to reconcile the world. That was a Greg Brady moment there, sorry. God wants to reconcile the whole world. God wants to bring everything together. That's what that scripture says. Get us all on the same page, all humanity. And believe it or not, Paul says God doesn't stop at just humanity. God includes the whole world, everything. God wants to unite everything in Christ. So if you think about it for just a moment, if you think about what God is wanting to do through Christ, it can give you a visual metaphor for sin that I want you to take with you forever. And I want it to kick away murder and stealing and those little visions you have when I say the word sin. And I want this metaphor to take over. Because I believe today that the greatest metaphor, the greatest near comparison we can give, the greatest power we can give to the word sin is exclusion. Because if you think about it, if God is wanting to unite everything together, if we work to keep things apart because we don't like someone the way they look or the way they talk or what they think or what political party they belong to, if we think that it's our job as Christ's church to protect the church and exclude people, we're sinning. The greatest image for what sin means is exclusion. Think about it. Many of us grew up with a definition of what hell would be, and it's separation from God, right? We're excluded from God's presence. That's the ultimate hell. Sin is that exclusion of other people. If God's trying to reconcile and we're pushing away, then we're at odds with God. And the reciprocal part of this is God's grace, right? Because it is God who is reaching out in grace to us. But grace is another one of those words that isn't that powerful anymore. We think about it and we say it a lot in church, but it doesn't bring to our minds the images of power that it should. Because the God of the universe has decided that we are so worth it that that God is going to give up everything that we might be in God's presence. That's grace. We didn't deserve it. That's grace. So if the best and strongest metaphor that we can give for sin is exclusion, the best and greatest metaphor we can give to grace is embrace. Think about it. This is what God has done for each and every one of us, is embrace us. God wants us to be in relationship with God. So when Paul reminds us in Corinthians that everything can become new if we are in Christ, this is what he's talking about. No more exclusion. That's the old way. The old way is that I have an answer, and my answer's right, and your answer's wrong. You don't belong. I belong. But if I want to let you in, I might let you in. But you got to do it my way. You got to look like me, and you got to talk like me. You got to think just like me. And you got to worship just like me, because that's important. How we worship is important. You got to do it just like me. And you got to do it exactly right. That's not what Paul is calling us to do. Paul is saying to us, that's the old way. The old way is when there were Jews and Greeks, there were Gentiles, there were men and women, there were slaves, there were free. Those are divisions. Those are things that separate us. But in Christ, that's all gone. So Paul is saying to us, the new way is led by embrace. The new way doesn't care about the trespasses that have gone before, as Paul says. Doesn't care about what the old ways were. They're gone, because in Christ it becomes new. So I guess I don't know how to land. But for some reason, this is what I wanted to say to you this morning. Because I think it is one of the most important lessons we as the church can learn. We spend so much time figuring out why and how we are different. And how we are not like someone else. When Jesus tells us to love our enemies, to pray for people we don't like, to bring them into the embrace. So, the greatest, most powerful image when you think of sin should be exclusion. And the greatest, most powerful image when you think of God's grace should be one big giant embrace. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.